triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll continue our Sabbath day services at this dedication, this festival. At this time, reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, its 10th chapter, starting with verse 25. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again, and I will repay thee. Which of these three, thinkest thou, was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Amen. In this read text, we see the opportunity to do the work of the gospel, to help the downtrodden, the wounded, the injured, the trapped, the lame, the blind. We also see the law and the gospel. We see self-righteousness. And we're reminded of how we should love one another and take care of each other and reminded of God's great love for us and how He desires us to love each other. This lawyer perhaps represents self-righteousness by the words that Luke wrote. The lawyer asked the most important, probably, question in anyone's life: what should I do to inherit eternal life? Is there a more important question than this? What should I do to inherit eternal life? He asked the right question, but it appears that he asked it perhaps he asked it not of a heart that is in need, because it says here that the lawyer stood up and he tempted Jesus, saying, "Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, in His all-knowing, in His unsearchable ways, knew the heart of this person. We don't know, I don't know what's in your heart. My spirit agrees with your spirit, dear brothers and sisters. We have been here together now for 3 days, enjoying these beautiful festivity, these dedication services, and my wife and I were discussing when we woke up this morning, as if they're a mini summer services. And as a brother related last night, as a taste of heaven. And we've been filled with joy and happiness. And perhaps some here are not. Their cup isn't overflowing, and some cups are overflowing. My heart has been warmed. Maybe some cold. Maybe there's hearts here that are cold and slow to warm. Our faith is not based on our feelings. It's upon believing. It's not based on understanding everything, but believing upon God and His, and what the Word of God, His will is, and what He wants us to do. So it says He tempted Jesus. So Jesus knows this fella's heart. And Jesus responded this way. He said, "Well, what's written in the law? What's the law say?" And this lawyer, he knew the law. He answered correctly. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." This is a dual commandment called the dual commandment of love. If we look at the Ten Commandments as we have studied in Sunday school and as children, the first three commandments are love towards God, and the next seven are love towards our neighbor. But that's the priority of it. First, we love God with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul. And we can't do it. I can't do it. For my strength is little, I lack much. As I've enjoyed these services, I realize my failings and my lackings, but what I lack, dear brothers and sisters, you can fulfill. Because collectively, we are the kingdom of God. And collectively, the kingdom of God does not err. We as individuals, we err and we sin and we need to be corrected often. But the kingdom, the mother, does not err. It's good to be in a place where we can be taken care of with the correct way, not with the arm of flesh or from above, but from below and with love. And we who care for one another, we need to be cared for also, because we're not perfect. But the perfection is in Christ Jesus, and the care that is found in God's kingdom is perfect. But we as caretakers, we err. It's not our forgiveness, but forgiveness comes from God and comes from heaven. But we want to forgive one another from the heart. And so this lawyer, he answered correctly. Love God and then love your neighbor. But then it says, but he was willing to justify himself. I'm not quite sure what that means. To justify himself. To me it means perhaps he trying to defend himself in some way of his works. And so, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus went into this narrative of a certain man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. I had the opportunity, along with Brother John, to go to Israel. And we went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Jericho is the oldest living city in civilization. Oldest and maybe the lowest in elevation, if I recall right. And you go from Jerusalem up an high hill and you descend to Jericho. And the spiritual picture of my understanding is that when one goes from the kingdom of God and begins to leave God's kingdom and leaves toward the world, they go from Jerusalem to Jericho. They leave the nest of the mother congregation in God's kingdom, and they are attracted to the things of the world and leave God's kingdom, leave the Father's house. And this is what happened to this fella. He left. It doesn't say why he did, but the fact of the matter is sin was on his heart, and he didn't put those things away. He didn't put his matters away. It's always been and said in God's kingdom, don't put your faith away, but put sin away. That's what I heard when I was growing up. Put your sin away. Put matters away. Don't put your faith away. And so this fellow, he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiments and wounded him, and he departed, leaving him half dead. And we know in God's kingdom there have been those who have left. It's been with sorrow. A parent's sorrow over their unbelieving children. Children sorrow over their unbelieving parents. A spouse may sorrow over their spouse that may have left. We sorrow over our loved ones who have left God's kingdom. Because we have love for them. And it's God's will, and we know it's God's will that all people would be saved. That's what God wants. That everybody would be saved. And so, this fella got beat up. Violence had taken place. In the world today, there's a lot of violence. And the Bible says that in the end times, the love of many shall wax cold. And we see the alarming rates of violence of people against each other. I keep track of the news and I watch and I ponder what is going on out there in society. It's getting pretty wild. And I grew up in an area that was kind of a rough area, and you took your punches and ran as fast as you could. And but that didn't mean I should be fighting people back and going out looking for people to slug and beat up. That's not a life of a believer. So this person here has fallen a spiritual death, he's wounded spiritually. He, as I said, sin had built up in his life, and Satan was able to trip him up and trick him, and he became so far removed from God's kingdom that the Holy Spirit left him. And he got lost out there in the darkness. And he's hurting. He's laying there, and then here comes a priest coming down the way. When he saw him, he passed by the other side. This priest didn't stop to take care of him. I believe Jesus was referring to maybe a Pharisaic priest, perhaps, in his day, that those priests of that time, the Pharisees were not true believers, but they strove to perfect themselves in the law and wanted to follow the law as completely as they could. And we can't do that. There's no way we can fulfill the law. If we could fulfill the law, then you get to go to heaven that way. But there's no one that can do it that way. So we need someone to fulfill the law for us, and that was Jesus Christ. So we as believers, we're not under the law. We're under grace. The law is for those who are not believing. The law is demanding and strict and hard. And it's designed to be that way. So it would push and burden those who are not believing and give them a hard time and push them towards Christ. The law is good and the law is righteous. And Apostle Paul spoke about the law in Galatians. He wrote about the law, and he said, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, under the law. Ye are all children of God by faith through Jesus Christ." So we don't need the law, but the law is there for those who are not believing. So, you know, God's word is a two-edged sword. Either it offends or it heals. And it can slice, and it does, through the heart of man. And that sharp edge of the law offends and awakens one, and it hopefully pushes them towards Christ. There is no forgiveness in the law, but it is righteous and is good because it is part of God's word. It is part of that two-edged sword that we have. And Paul further says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Paul went on to say that, now the works of the flesh, but if ye be led by the Spirit, then ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, made known. And these are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If ye live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So, we don't have to be the judge of who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. Let God's Word do that, which He does. But at the same time, we know. We want to know the testimony of one another. We want to take care of each other. And so this fella didn't even help this wounded person. Let that not be us. May God give us the desire to help those who are wounded. Those who have fallen on the wayside. May God give us a heart to help. And the Levite also walked the other way. But then a certain Samaritan came by and saw the wounded man and had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring oil in the wine. This fella, he couldn't help himself. He's laying there helpless. And when the law opens and awakens a person, sin's conditions, they realize that I need help. I can't get to heaven by myself. God, open your salvation. Open your doors to the kingdom for me. Because I can't do it on my own. I need help. That's what the law does. It drives us toward Christ. And I have heard that one of the hardest things for a person to do who's not believing is to come to that threshold of God's kingdom. The hardest thing to do is to step over that threshold, to ask for forgiveness, to repent. Once my wife's in-laws, they went to visit an elderly aunt who was in the hospital who was dying. She was not believing. I don't know if she was a former believer or not, but she was not believing correctly. They went to visit her and they chatted about things in life. They took off down the road. And then the aunt said, you know what? She doesn't have long to live, I don't think. We should go back and ask if she wants her sins forgiven. Yes, let's go. They turned around. They went back to this old elderly woman. And they asked, Dear auntie, do you want to believe? Do you want your sins forgiven? And that weak hand went up and she said, I thought you would never ask. It's not always easy for those on the outside to raise their hand to ask. May God give us, each one of us, strength, love, and truth to approach one and boldly ask them, how are your matters? Do you want your sins forgiven? We have this healing oil, these healing balms, and these oils and this wine. This Good Samaritan is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is teaching us, who has taught us, who has been here with the services with us for 3 days, and who will be with us when we leave from here. We're shortly closing here, and we're all leaving to our own places of life. But the Lord Jesus has promised to be with us every day, even unto the end of the world. And this balm, it is that good message of the gospel. This healing gospel in which a sinner can lift up one's head and heart to heaven and believe their sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. This is what we're here. This is why we're still here in this life. To preach the good news, that message. To heal the wounded and sick. This is why this church is here. We could come here and be refreshed in faith and hear again and again. And open our hearts and our church to those who are on the outside. That they could hear that good message. That their sins can be forgiven. It's not too late. It's not too late, dear listener of the word. Not as long as the sun shines and the grace of God yet flows from His kingdom. It's not too late because the door of grace is still open. You, dear listener of the word, may God open your heart. May you find a merciful God. Who loves you, and it's His will that you would be found here in God's kingdom. You can uplift your heart, dear hearer of the word. You have come here this afternoon. You can lift up your heart and yet be encouraged to believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And if there be someone here who is not found in this kingdom, who does not own this precious gift, you, dear friend, can uplift your heart to believe all your sins, all doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We have a good God. He has been with us. We see His marvelous works and we praise Him. I thank you for inviting me here to be in your midst, to participate in this great celebration that we've had here. My wife and I have been so thankful to be here in your midst. It's been so good. You've always, and may you always be, a special congregation, a flock of believers in our hearts. And as I leave this place, I yet desire to hear the gospel. I wish to believe in Jesus' name. Amen.